welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start what proves to be a long, long podcast, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Coach, let's take a quick look back at last weekend's 66-48 win against Bowling Green. I don't know, what did you think of that one?
Well, first, it was a, you know, we kind of, I don't think, felt our way into the game, but we knew they were going to come out with a lot of energy. The big issue I kept saying, we're going to get to them, because you just see their stamina wasn't, I don't think, as high as it needed to be at this point in the season. I said, just keep hitting. I said, we're wearing them down. And I thought third and fourth quarter, we just took over the game as far as physicality, stamina, but also this strategically. I thought our players played outstanding in the second half. First half was a dogfight. We thought we were going to be in a dogfight. You're in state semifinals against teams 23-1. But I thought our overall intensity in the game was very, very strong, and I thought we really were a more physical football team on Saturday.
Offensively, we talked about it afterwards, but it was just, you all had more than 500 yards of offense in the first half, finished with 804. And again, that's going to happen when you score 10 touchdowns. But I also think anytime the kids, there are times where you all start inside the 20, there are times you start at the 20, and you still found ways to score wherever you were on the field. And I think that's where a lot of those yards come from. But it also goes to show the success you all had offense, right?
Well, I think we went back to our basics before the game started. They gave up 8 points a game all year. You can say, 12 games, who did they play, who did this? 8 points a game, that's almost unheard of. That's really, really playing some solid defense, no matter who you're playing against. So it was the 4 yards in a cloud of dust mentality. Hey, we take four, we do that 3 times, we get a first down. We're going to take calculated risk, but let's be all right with getting the 4 yards. Keep ball security. Let's keep the ball on our side and keep moving and keep away from their offense also. I think our kids really adapted to that and accepted that. And when we got more than 4 yards, that was a bonus, but we wanted 4 yards the initial surge.
And defensively, yes, they got 48 points, but the takeaway I had was they finished with less than 300 yards of offense. So the key to me that seemed was – they took advantage of the short fields when they got them, but when you all pinned them inside the 40 and the 30, the defense came up with stops. Is that how you saw it?
I saw it, but I also saw a pendulum shift. You made reference to it last week. They blinked first and punted. I think when they punted, all our players realized this isn't a team that's going to score every time they get up. We can stop them. I think that really gave our defense confidence because, it's scary going to a game when a team's averaging 6 points a game, highest scoring team in the history of Missouri football. You're sitting there going, man, they can score at any point in time. When they punted, I think that really put a confidence on us. Like you said, we gave them some good field position. That was just crazy to do that. But at the same standpoint, there were some times we pinned them back, and our players, they just went after them. Then once we had them, you could just feel it on the sidelines. Our defense wanted to play instead of, we're scared. It was, we're going to go get them. And I think that was a great momentum shift for us.
All right, state championship game this week against Lamar. What can you tell us about this Lamar team on offense?
Very, very refined. They don't do a lot, but what they do is really well, and it complements everything else they do. They don't run a play that doesn't have two or three corresponding plays off of it. So if you stop that specific play, they got two or three answers. So when they break it down, they probably have 5 basic plays, but 3 answers for each play, and nobody has solved that riddle. So very, very efficient, very fundamentally sound on the offensive side of the ball.
And what can you tell us about this Lamar team on defense?
Defense, very physical up front. Front 7, just get after it. You can't run the football on this team. They've really minimized the amount of ways people can run. Their defense, the secondary, plays a little bit different than we've seen. They play off a little bit, but they play hard. And what I mean by that is they don't backpedal. They're going to let the receiver come. If you stop, They're going to hit you, and if you try to get past them, they're going to collision you at that point. So it's a very good defense as far as stopping you against a run, and then when you have to pass, they know what you're going to do. They're able to take away your routes by the way they play their secondary.
Okay, and what do you see as being some keys to victory for this Blair Oaks team?
I think one is special teams, as it was last week, but we need to have better play out of our special teams. The second key is turnover. A turnover is going to be huge on either side because they don't turn it over very much and neither do we. So a turnover is going to give one team one more possession than the other.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And while this plans to be the final podcast of the season for us, I'm sure there'll be plenty of listening for everybody to get their fill, so it will feel like it's the last of two podcasts. But let's start, Greg, with last week. We have to go back. It's one of those games that we knew had the potential to be a barn burner. It was a barn burner. The final score ends up being 66-48. It's a win for Blair Oaks over Bowling Green. And I don't know where to begin, but let's just go. Let's start with the offense, Greg, because that was obviously what we expected for them. So 66 points from Blair Oaks. If you can get that in a state semifinal game, that's very odd, but you will take it anytime you can get it like that.
Yeah, my calves are still recovering from monitoring the sidelines to get pictures. Oh, my goodness. It was kind of an interesting game where Bowling Green won the coin toss, received the opening kick, and they ran it back from, like, their own 10 to the Blair Oaks 30, and I'm thinking, all right, this will be interesting. Let's see what they can do with the short field. And they scored a touchdown. I believe it was on, like, a third down and long, and now all of a sudden, you know, Blair Oaks is facing a deficit again for maybe the third or fourth time all year.
But
to Blair Oaks' credit, they answered immediately.
Right.
And to me, those first two possessions really summed up the game, and this is something I'm sure we're also going to talk about with this game, is Blair Oaks had 804 total yards of offense.
Right.
They had, now, to their credit, yes, they scored 10 touchdowns, but they didn't really get short fields in this game.
Sure.
So when they scored touchdowns, it's because they had like 75-yard drives. And Bowling Green, they scored 48, but
right. They
did not even have 300 yards of offense because they scored 6 touchdowns, 48 points. You had the 6 touchdowns. They got 2-point conversions every single time, so they basically stole a touchdown in the long run with that. One touchdown was a kickoff return for a touchdown. One was a 57-yard run. The remaining 4 touchdown drives were all starting in Blair Oaks territory, so they got short fields, and when they did, they took advantage of them. And to me, that's why that game was as close as it was, because if you look outside of that 57-yard run, if they ever stopped, or if they ever started in their own territory, they did not score.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. We've seen plenty of games where we've seen Blair Oaks put up 50s, 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen many games where they've put up 800 yards of total offense.
No.
So, I mean, that is one of those kind of things where, yeah, sometimes numbers can lie to you and you can look at them and go, wow, they're averaging a lot of points and they score a lot of points, but they do it, you know, opportunistically.
Yeah.
This wasn't an opportunistic thing. This was earn every score they got, and as a result, then, you know, like I say, yeah, you end up with 804, which, again, is a staggering total. So I'm going to say it a couple more times. 804 yards of offense, that's just amazing. I don't care who you're playing at what point in the season and at what level, and they did it in a state semifinal game.
And one of the things we talked about in the last podcast was I thought the mismatch was going to be Blair Oaks' receivers against Bowling Green's secondary, and that turned out to be right. You know, Dylan Hare attempted a season-high 26 passes. I know he's thrown that many passes before in a game. I think his career high is maybe 40 a couple years ago against Valley Catholic. But it was there. I mean, it was a little windy, but not enough that it would throw off his game. It was nice and warm. There was the rain didn't arrive until a couple hours later. And so that really, you know, gave him an opportunity. Again, as we talked about, Blair Oaks they will put 4 legit receivers on the field, and they will dare you to put 4 corners or safeties on them, and they're going to find the mismatch, which they did a lot of the times. Because, 10 incomplete passes, I think a handful of those were on overthrows. Maybe 1 or 2 were deflected passes by the Bowling Green defense. But, you know, to their credit in the passing game, Dylan made some great throws. I want to say, I think it was Joey Wilde made a couple of fantastic tiptoe catches along the sidelines that they haven't needed to do, but they needed them because I think both of them were on third down conversions, and they were huge at the time. But then on top of that, you know, Dylan Hare
and Hayden Lackman combined to run for about 375 yards. So we talk about how the passing game, you know, 359 yards there, I believe, but 375 from your quarterback and running back alone right. in the run game. That was about as good of an offensive day as Blair Oaks could have anticipated. I mean, like you were saying, I think the most total yards they had in a game the season before that was Maryville, and I think that was in the low 600s, and that was a huge offensive
sure.
game.
Yep.
This one definitely, exceeded that one.
And we'll get off the offense in a minute here, but one more point about that offense. I think you brought up an interesting point from the standpoint of we've seen Blair Oaks do that to people or have quick strike capabilities, hit people with big
yeah.
plays. But it seems to me, and this is just anecdotally and just listening and kind of seeing the games that I've seen, it seems like that always – it seems to almost come early in series or early like on first down, on second down. We saw a ton of huge third down plays
yeah.
that ended up going for scores where it wasn't just like, oh, we'll just get the third down or the safe third down play. Nope, we're going for it all
yeah.
on third down. And they scored on a lot of key scores on third down plays.
Well, and speaking of not only third down, but the very first touchdown came on a fourth down. I
right.
believe it was maybe fourth and three.
Yeah.
And – the reason I talked to Coach LePage, again, Dylan Hare is going to get all the credit he gets and deserves it. But Hayden Lackman, I got to remind people, this kid's only a freshman. He was not supposed to be the starting running back until a few days before the season began when Eli Luckett tore his ACL in the Jamboree. So this is a kid who should be a JV kid.
Right.
And he surpassed 1,000 yards rushing for the season in this game. But he caught a 20-yard touchdown pass, I believe, on that 4th-and-3. And he had only caught 3 passes all season heading into this.
Yep.
And he caught 2 huge touchdown passes
yep.
in that win. I know Dylan Hare had more than 600 total yards of offense, but Hayden Lackman had about 170 or 175 total yards, and they were huge
sure.
yards.
Yeah.
He finished with 4 touchdowns. I cannot emphasize enough how huge he has been this year, especially for a freshman. And I don't want to look too far to 2023, but I know a lot of people are going to say this is going to be a team that looks different next year without Dylan Hare, but they're going to have a lot of skill players back,
yep.
and Hayden's going to be one of them.
Yep.
This is going to be a good team next year, even though they are graduating one of the best players they've ever had.
So let's flip it now, and let's take a look at the Blair Oaks defense. And it's going to be easy to say, okay, this is a cause for concern, because whenever you get to a semifinal game and you want to be tuning up for a state title game, which we'll get to here in a little bit, you don't want to maybe be giving up a 48 points. But I think it's also worth saying, you aren't just playing any old offense. You're playing a very,
yeah.
a very dangerous offense. And like you say, some of that then ends up being a short field scenario. But it is also one of those things where you go, okay, how concerned as a Blair Oaks fan should a fan be about the fact that you gave up 48 prior to a state championship?
I mean, again, I think the number kind of is going to scare people. But again, that's why I kept bringing up the 293 yards of total offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
right.
you've got, I mean, and I think Bowling Green had a 32-28 lead, I think, with 9 minutes and change left in the second quarter. And I want to say right after that, Blair Oaks threw an interception. Dylan Hare threw his first interception since week 3, so I got to emphasize that,
right.
3 interceptions in 13 weeks is pretty impressive.
Right.
Now, Bowling Green is, again, driving in Blair Oaks territory, had an opportunity to make it a 2-possession lead. And Nick Closser, I would argue maybe this was the biggest play of the game. Nick Closser then turns around and intercepts a pass. I think it hit off the wide receiver's hands, one of the Bryant brothers, and lands right in his, and he goes down with it. And immediately Blair Oaks scores, and they get the lead and never give it back. I would argue that might be the play of the game, because if Bowling Green scores there, like I said, they go up 2 possessions, and maybe they do get that momentum, whereas Blair Oaks scores, and Bowling Green doesn't score for 22 minutes of game time. They don't score
right.
again until the first minute of the fourth quarter, when Blair Oaks already has a 20-plus point lead. So that was a huge, huge thing for the defense, because you're talking about they gave up 30 – I mean, well, special teams gave up one of those first 4 touchdowns. The defense gave up 3 touchdowns, but, man, they really buckled down and they forced some punts. Bowling Green did not punt. I didn't find this out until Saturday. They had not punted – until all season, until the state quarterfinal game against Lafayette County. So
okay.
you're talking
right.
regular season districts, they never punted
right.
once.
Right.
And they punted 4 times Saturday, and
yeah.
then they had a few turnovers on downs on top of that.
Yeah.
So, again, you're talking about an offense And their the running back, Marcus Starks, I think had this was something I also found out on Saturday. I think every game he had at least 150 yards rushing, and Blair Oaks held him to 141, but 141 on 27 carries, whereas Dylan Hare had like 257 yards on 27 carries. So they had the same number of carries. Dylan Hare got about almost twice as many yep. yards. Right. So. And on top of that, I think of the 27 carries, 10 of them went for no gain or only one yard. So they stopped him a handful of times and did a pretty good job of shutting him down.
So I think it is worth reinforcing to people that, yes, if you're concerned after looking at that 48 points given up, it is kind of amazing that you can look inside a game, but in every game, you're going to say to yourself, we need a stop here, or if we can get a big stop, this will alter the game. Well, guess what? Even in a 66-48 game, you have those moments where you say, can we get a stop? And when you absolutely have to have them, and when you absolutely need them to make a potential loss turn into a win, Blair Oaks was able to do that. So I think it's one of those things where you go, yes, do we want to improve on that number for the next game out? Absolutely. But you do want to be big in big situations, and I think they were big in some big situations.
Right, and the one thing I did want to emphasize, the reason why they did pitch a shutout in the third quarter was there was a halftime adjustment where Coach John Butler and Coach Andrew Terpstra came to Coach LePage, and they kind of talked some things out. And one of the changes they made was they said, we're gonna blitz the heck out of them in the second half, because they were like, look, nobody's blitzed them all year. Let's see what happens.
Right.
And so, we're talking bringing in the safety blitzes. You bring in Alec Weberg. I think he had one sack in the first half. He had two in the second half he came out of nowhere and just hit their quarterback, Dylan Dalton. I mean, I went back and looked at some of the highlights that – I don't even know if he could have counted to one Mississippi before all of a sudden Alec Weberg is right in his face.
Yeah.
So Blair Oaks ended up with six sacks in the game. And to me, I thought that was a game changer, because a lot of those sacks came on third down plays, and now all of a sudden you're facing fourth and long, and then maybe another sack or maybe an incomplete pass. I thought that was, again, I want to emphasize that Blair Oaks has done a great job for the first 13 games of making those in-game adjustments. Sure. And to me, I thought that was one that really helped solidify a win, especially from the defensive side of the ball.
So this is a very, very, very long preamble to say that, okay, the Falcons are now exactly where they wanted to be when they started out 13, 14 weeks ago, or even longer before that in preseason workouts. But you're now 13-0. You're playing for a state title game, 3 o'clock Friday at Faurot Field. That was the end goal all season long. You've gotten to that point. Now you got to get refocused, and you got to forget all about that craziness of last week and get ready for this week. And you know what? It's funny that you're back there again, and now you get a very familiar foe from the standpoint of it's Lamar. 12-1 Lamar, 13-0 Blair Oaks. This is what people, have kind of been looking for the last couple weeks and going, this is a very real possibility. Well, now we've got it.
Yeah.
So I guess the first thing we got to say is these teams met for a state title back in 2012. I covered that game. It was a crazy one, 69-41 in favor of Lamar. And I will tell people, I've been telling them ever since that game, that game's closer than that score indicates. And if a play or two goes Blair Oaks' way, then all of a sudden that game's a lot different at the end. Give Lamar credit. They were great that year, and it was a fantastic game. It was a crazy game. The question is, do we see another crazy game, and do we see it? I don't know if we see maybe that many points, but I do think we see another great game when these two get together.
See, you bring up crazy and high scoring, and it sounds closer. That is, I believe that's the highest scoring game in Missouri high school state championship game history. And the reason I think I know that is because 2 years ago when Blair Oaks played Maryville, I believe that was a 62-40 final, so 102 combined points, trailing the 110 in that one. And that's a game where you look at the score, and Dylan Hare, if I remember right, that was the game where Dylan Hare really announced himself as a dual threat guy, because he set the state championship game record with 467 total yards. So again, now he's coming off a 600-plus yard performance. And that was a game where, if Maryville makes a play here or there, all of a sudden it could be a totally different game. I'll tell you what, it's looking like this. There is the potential for this to be just as crazy as that one. You've got two fantastic offenses. It's going to be like the Bowling Green game. Bowling Green punted, I believe, on their second possession. And that was something that Coach LePage really emphasized, I think, earlier in this podcast, was that seemed to be when Blair Oaks got confidence that they could win. Yes, they fell behind again at multiple times after that. But getting them to blink first, I think, was the big deal. So I think it's going to come down to whoever punts first or whoever turns the ball over first, that's really going to be what I think sets the tone in this game.
Yeah. And it's a lower arm team that also put up some big numbers last week. They end up, they avenge a 36-33 regular season loss and come back last week and win 56-14. So you look, and you look at them and go, that's another team that's playing great right now, because they're obviously peaking at the right time. You know, so that's the sort of thing where you look at it and go, okay, you know, obviously you expect teams that are still playing at this point to still be playing great. But, you know, it's not at all a surprise to go, okay, you know what, these two are here and they're both playing great right now.
Yeah, and if you're going to look at, I don't think this was in the podcast portion of my interview with Coach LePage, but I think later on I talked to him and I said, you know, is this about as close? I mean, I know the two teams aren't exactly alike, but I was like, is this about as close as it comes to looking in the mirror, seeing this Lamar team, and maybe seeing yourselves? And the reason I bring that up is if you look at, you know, the win against Seneca, six different players for Lamar scored a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And to me, that really looks like a Blair Oaks offense where they've got at least six, they've got eight different guys that are capable of scoring a touchdown. I looked at a few highlights, and I believe one highlight last week, they scored a touchdown out of the wishbone. Blair Oaks did the same thing. They, you know, Bryson Barner got a touchdown against Bowling Green, scoring out of the wishbone. So, I mean, again, their offenses aren't identical, but this is about as close. I mean, it's about as close to look in the mirror as you can. That's why both these teams are scoring, you know, 50-plus points every game, because they just, I think that what sets them apart is they have so many different guys that could score. Yes, I know a lot of people will look in at Dylan Hare and say, well, that he scored a lot of their touchdowns. Well, it's true, but there are other guys that are able to get in the scoring column. Right. So do they have him as their go-to guy? Yes. But he's also found ways to incorporate like five or six other skilled players that can find a way to pick your defense apart.
So it's worth mentioning the some people who maybe don't follow Lamar as closely as you and I do, and the people who kind of, you know, follow this thing on a regular basis. It's a different head coach than it was for all those years when they were winning all the state titles under Scott Bailey. But it's an alum of the program. Mm-hmm. And so the question automatically then that I'll have you answer is how similar or how different is it from those Lamar teams that were ripping off state title after state title after state title?
So looking at their numbers, I mean, they've, you know, 479 carries compared to just 93 pass attempts. So you're talking like, I mean, that's almost like close to an 85 to like, it's like a 5-to-1 ratio of run to pass. They still throw the ball. And I guess the way Coach LePage and I were talking about it is when they throw the ball, they don't mess around. Like it is, I mean, they're 53 of 65 completion. So, I mean, you're talking like an 80-plus percent completion rate. And a lot of them have gone for touchdowns as of late. Like, you look at what, you know, Joel Bishore, their quarterback from last from this season. You know, last week he, 5 of 7 passing for 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, clearly when they throw the ball, they throw with a purpose. But it's that they, you know, their run game, it's like it's old style running, but with new style concepts. Whereas, like, they have, like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 set plays, but they could do like 5 or so different things out of each one of those. Okay. So it's almost like 20 different things you could do.
Right.
And I think that's what's really confusing for defenses. And to me, we talk about how Blair Oaks can pick you apart with the pass game if they want, because you've got to be able to match up with them.
Sure.
I think that's the same thing you could say with Lamar's offense. Like, they can go with, like, six. I mean, outside the 5 linemen, I mean, anyone can touch the ball in any given play. So you better have 11 guys on the field that know what they're doing, because if there is a weakness, Lamar will find it. And I think that's why they're coming into this game with a 12-1 record.
So, you know, we'll break other things down here in a minute, but I do feel like it's worth noting that at this point, if they want to be opportunistic with their passing, and Blair Oaks likes to pass when it's there, the one thing that I'm looking at in terms of the forecast is not, forecast is supposed to be good. It's supposed to be low 60s. You know, it's supposed to be clear, should be fine, but there is a possibility of gusting winds during that. So that's the thing that you kind of automatically look at and go, okay, if it's going to favor one team that predominantly runs versus sometimes passes, and Blair Oaks likes to do a little bit of both, that may be something we have to watch out for, even if it's maybe a situational thing, like if the wind's at your back, you throw in that quarter, you don't throw in the other quarter when you're going into the wind. But then again, we've seen them also throw when it was a windy day, and it didn't really matter because, you know, we've got a quarterback that can do that sort of thing.
Well, and also helps that throw field is kind of tucked down in. So, you know, maybe the wind is kind of taken. I mean, maybe the wind's only going to be a factor on punts, perhaps.
Right.
But, I think the weather's about as good as you can ask for if you're Blair Oaks, because, again, I think we saw them really go to the passing game, and maybe if they find something that they like to see against Lamar's defense, maybe we see him continue to throw the ball as well. Or, you know, again, this is Dylan Harris' last high school football game. There is no holding back anything anymore. You know, maybe this is one of those things where it's like, you know what, if we're going to win – why not let the best, like, who I would argue, I mean, he's probably going to be the Class 2 Offensive Player of the Year. Why not let him do what he has to do? I know you want to give other kids opportunities to win, but this is to win a state title. You want, I mean, the ball is going to be in your best player's hands on every snap. The question is he going to run it, or is he going to throw it, or is this an opportunity to let Hayden Lackman step up? The jet sweeps have been working well for Blair Oaks. I at this point, you could say almost everything they do is a strength. The question is, which of their strengths is going to do the best against Lamar? And I think that's why the first quarter is going to be very important to see, you know, who's going to be the first one to blink, who's going to be the first one to make a mistake, and after that, which team makes the best in-game adjustments.
So I think it's going to be one of those things where it's easy to look at it from the outside and go, okay, both defenses are going to have to stop high-octane offenses. Should be fine. You know, here's the thing that maybe concerns me from the standpoint of, okay, like we mentioned that regular season meeting for Lamar against Seneca, gave up 36. Yeah. Let me just read you off the rest of the numbers that they've given up this year. So it goes 0, 0, 0, 6, 14, 26, 13, 0, 10, 6, 0, 14.
Yeah.
That's a pretty darn good offense. I don't care, or defense, I don't care who you're playing, what offense you're playing against. So, to me, while I think that this could be an offensive explosion, I just more want to worry about, should we be overly concerned about how good this defense is and their ability to slow down a Blair Oaks offense that has not been slowed down by anybody this year?
See, I think this, what you're leading to is, I think what's going to decide the game is one line versus the other. I mean, which one's going to be able to block? But, I mean, again, going back to the point that you just brought up, I mean, we might have also been talking about that with Bowling Green, because they were one of the top defenses in the state, and then they gave up 66 points after only allowing 110 points all season.
Okay.
So,
Fair enough.
I mean, that's one of those things. It's hard to guess. I think that's one of those things that, and it's hard to compare these two teams, because Lamar doesn't really play teams outside of Southwest Missouri, nor should they, because I believe it's the Big Eight conference that they're in, and that's a really good football conference. So why travel when you can play good football teams within a 90-minute radius of you? So that's what I think makes this game so interesting, is the fact that these two teams have only played each other once before. They could have there was an opportunity that they might have played each other in 2010, but I believe Lathrop beat Lamar in the state semifinals, and then Blair Oaks beats Lathrop 54-0 in a state title game. But, that's the thing. Like, these two teams it's hard to make comparisons, because it's not like they really have any common opponents.
Right.
It's not like – and they don't really see each other until it's this point of the season anyway.
Yeah.
So, I think that, to me, I think line play is what decides this. I mean, if you look at Blair Oaks' O-line, I mean, again, if you're going to get 804 yards of offense, you have to have a pretty darn good offensive line to pull that off. So, the question is, can Blair Oaks pick up where they left off? And if you look at Lamar from the highlights, I've seen, man, they have such a good offensive line. So I think, but the Blair Oaks front four on their defense has done such a good job. And to me, I thought they made good adjustments, because for fans who were at that game, you know, Bowling Green, what they do is, from the time they break the huddle to the time they snap the ball is almost always less than 5 seconds. So what would happen was the center would break first, and then the other 10 guys would come to the line. So that way it is so hard for you to kind of prepare for what they're going to do.
Right.
I know they kind of have most of the same looks, but sometimes they mix it up. And I thought Blair Oaks did a pretty good job of adjusting to that by the second quarter. So, again, it's going to come down to what kind of adjustments can Blair Oaks make. They've seen a lot of stuff on film against Lamar. Does Lamar throw anything different at them? Then again, for all I know, maybe Blair Oaks has something in the bag that they still haven't shown through these first 13 games. So, to me, it'll be very, very interesting to see what these teams. I mean, there's no games after this. You've got to throw everything in the kitchen sink in this game, right?
Absolutely. So I guess at the end of the day, one of these teams will win and one of these teams will lose.
Yeah.
Which one's it going to be? And I don't expect you to get the score anywhere close to right, but why don't you throw one out there anyway?
Gosh, the final score I picked last week, I think that was a score at some point in the second quarter. So,
right.
Look, one of the things I want to go back to is the column I wrote in Sunday's News Tribune about how if you didn't think Blair Oaks was going to be in the state title game, you haven't been paying attention because, we talk about the even-numbered success thing they've got going on where they won state titles in 2018, 2020, and now it's 2022. It's a combination of is this a team of destiny or is this a team that has found a way to just, is it a team of redemption where they're frustrated by the loss to end the previous season and right. they just, found a way to come back. The fact that on top of this, this is Ted LePage's Hall of Fame season. He's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, Missouri Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame a week from Friday after the state title game. This is just all the stars seem to be aligning right. that this is – the stars are aligned to where they have to. You would think they're going to win this game. He has to go into the Hall of Fame on another state title, right? And the way I look at it, the biggest question mark I have coming into this is what do you do to stop Blair Oaks' offense?
Mm-hmm.
Because they, the fewest points they've scored in any game this year is 35. I think maybe Lamar is 33, so you could argue the same point. But to me, I don't know what Lamar can do to stop Blair Oaks consistently. And, I think this is a game. I think the score in my head that I put together, this is a game. I think Blair Oaks wins. I'll say 49-35, and that gives, Ted LePage 3 state titles in 5 years since he's returned there. I think the redemption door continues, and one of the redemptions is that they avenge that state title game loss from 10 years ago.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.